Introducing Tools for Living Your Fullest Life. This is Life's Toolbox with Kenny Brixey on Empower Radio. Now, here's your host, Kenny Brixey.
Welcome to Life's Toolbox, where each week we introduce tools that will assist you in opening awareness to your own incredible truth and empower your journey to authentic living. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. This week, I'm going to step away from just teaching a tool for a few moments because I just have to speak to what we are seeing happening in South Texas. And so bear with me. I am going to get on a soapbox for a little bit, but I'm going to bring some tools into play here a little bit later on that will help us deal with all of this. As seekers of love, compassion, kindness, and unity, we often tend to stay silent so we don't upset the apple cart. We pray for highest good to be served. We look for the positive in every situation. We look to God, universe, higher self, source, to transform the perceived wrongs in this world into light and growth. Even though I seek highest good in each situation we face, I can no longer stay silent. Even though here on the show and in many more than just a few of the talks that I present at my spiritual community, I've spoken aloud about seeking goodness, about understanding the situations that we face in this country and as a world community. The time has come to stand for what we believe is morally right, to stand for goodness that we seek. I still believe that most situations have common ground where peace can come. I believe we can find understanding and see the good that comes from all situations, even the one that I'm about to speak on. I still believe love can be found when we let go of our reliance on the media and the government to dictate our perceptions. However, as far as this situation that unfolded in my home state of Texas over the past few months, where children were being separated from their parents and placed in detention camps behind chain link fence and razor wire, in my opinion, there is only one consideration. Children were being separated from their parents. While this practice has now apparently been stopped, we must stand tall and use our voice to ensure our country never again practices the same acts that we have fought so hard to prevent in other countries around the world. With the exception of child abuse by a parent, this should never happen. And no one, not even the president of our United States, has the right to remove a child from their parents' arms. While President Trump did reverse his policy of separating children from their parents this past Wednesday, the zero-tolerance policies at the border will continue. Now, at the time of this recording, I have no clue or any direct knowledge of what will happen from here on. We must stay vigilant, though, in speaking our hearts. Even if this situation shifts for the best, we have got to continue speaking our hearts to ensure it never happens again, and it never slips through the cracks. Now, let me be clear on my position. This is not a statement for or against illegal entry into this country, or any other country for that matter. This is a statement about the atrocities that took place due to the policies of the government of this country. Many of us on social media claim that this is not a political issue, it's a moral one. And I totally agree with that. It is a moral issue, but folks, this is also a political issue because it is the politicians that we have elected into office that are directing these actions. Now, many of us like to pretend that we did not elect these officials because we voted for another candidate or did not vote at all. However, we are all responsible for the election results that put politicians into office. If you don't like those results, we can make a difference by getting involved, by getting educated about the candidates, by assisting and encouraging others to get to the polls, by speaking to the issues in truth. We can ensure this type of action or any other that violates human rights never happens again by getting involved, finding understanding, and educating ourselves. We must face the fact that some of the people in office now are dictating acts against human rights and abusing these children in ways, that will be detrimental to these children for the rest of their lives. We must stand up and let it be known by all that this type of action will not be tolerated by the people. Fortunately, I have seen no reports of any kind about physical or sexual abuse to these children. For that, I am so grateful. The psychological abuse these children received, however, was far more harmful than they ever deserved. The separation is damaging these innocent kids beyond all belief. For those who believe these children to be anything other than innocent, let me ask you this. What role did those children play in this entire situation other than being born to parents who desire a safer and better life? One of the arguments in favor of this policy was that the illegal immigrants were taking away our jobs, committing serious crimes, and more. If we believe these people, parents and children alike, are going to take away from our opportunities, our jobs, our safety, then we believe in a God, a universe, or a source that is lacking. We call this country the land of opportunity. To believe these immigrants will change that is to believe our country is not as plentiful and abundant as it truly is. When we believe God or our higher power is lacking, when we believe in lack at all, we are going to experience lack. I can tell you, folks, the God that I serve is not lacking in any way. If we believe in a God, a universe, a source that favors us over them, we are believing that we stand above another human being. We are reverting back to the days of slavery where we saw other human beings as less than human. President Obama had a great statement. He said something along the lines of, God sees children on both sides of the border the same. I totally agree with this. When I saw this travesty occurring in South Texas, I had to ask, what makes the child of a parent who is illegally entering these United States any less than my child? What makes the parents of that child any less than me? Our circumstances may be different because of where we were born, but I can promise you that if the roles were reversed and I was in a place that offered little to no opportunity, if I lived in a place where my family and I were unsafe, I'd be seeking a place that did offer opportunity and safety. Imagine for a moment the dire situations that would cause someone to believe that the journey from their home to a place that is relatively unknown would be worth it. Imagine for a moment the levels of struggle that are so unbearable that they would drive a family to travel from Mexico or South America to these United States, even knowing the struggles and dangers that they would face. Imagine the pains that suffered when the children were taken from them in this family separation process. Have empathy for a moment. Just imagine that. Struggles very similar to what these immigrants are facing are what drove our forefathers to travel from their homelands to this place that we now call home. We would not be here today to speak to these issues were it not for the immigrants making a journey to find a better opportunity. You know, I do not argue that our borders must have some sort of regulation, and I'm not here to speak to the laws of immigration. However, I want to remind all of us, including our government, about our Declaration of Independence, and more specifically, the opening passage. And I'm going to read that. In Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, first passage is, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve their political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This last phrase that talks about the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is trampled upon when we fail to treat any human as equal. Former First Lady Laura Bush spoke to the travesty of our government's policy by separating children from their parents in an opinion piece that ran in the Washington Post, and I'm going to read some of that. It was absolutely beautiful. She wrote, "I live in a border state. I appreciate the need to enforce and protect our international boundaries, but this zero tolerance policy is cruel. It is immoral, and it breaks my heart." She continues with, "Our government should not be in the business of warehousing children in converted box stores or making plans to place them in tent cities in a desert outside of El Paso. These images are eerily reminiscent of the Japanese-American internment camps of World War II, now considered to have been one of the most shameful episodes in U.S. history." Mrs. Bush went on to say, Americans pride ourselves on being a moral nation, on being the nation that sends humanitarian relief to places devastated by natural disasters or famine or war. We pride ourselves on believing that people should be seen for the content of their character, not the color of their skin. We pride ourselves on acceptance. If we are truly that country, then it is our obligation to reunite these detained children with their parents and to stop separating parents and children in the first place. She calls for good people at all levels of the government who can do better to fix this. She then wrote of her mother-in-law, Barbara Bush, and told a story of her work as an advocate for children and specifically about the memorable moment during her tenure almost three decades ago. Barbara Bush had spent time with babies who had been born with HIV and AIDS. She was picking them up and holding them. Laura Bush wrote, "My mother-in-law never viewed her embrace of that fragile child as courageous. She simply saw it as the right thing to do in a world that can be arbitrary, unkind, and even cruel. She, who after the death of her three-year-old daughter knew what it was to lose a child, believed that every child is deserving of human kindness, compassion, and love." In 2018, can we not, as a nation, find a kinder, more compassionate, more moral answer to this current situation? I, for one, believe we can. Her words are written with such beautiful meaning and intention, and I think people on both sides of the political divide can find meaning and wisdom here. Now, I want to get to the tool for the show, and the tool is stand up. Whether it be children or adults, we can stand up for moral treatment of all people. We can be the nation that is looked upon as kind, sincere, and caring. We can extend our love to all people. With this amazing technology that we have today, we are no longer an isolated nation. We are part of the world, and the world is not just hearing what our government is saying, it's hearing what we are saying. Even though our current government chose to forfeit our seat at the United Nations Human Rights Committee, we don't have to forfeit our stance. We don't have to forfeit our connection to the rest of the world. We as a people must take some form of action to speak our truth and to make a statement of our hearts in this and all situations. My call to each of you is that you stand up and let your own heartfelt beliefs be known. Now, I'm not talking about the facts you read in social media or even the traditional media. I'm talking about your heartfelt beliefs. Stand up and speak out. If you do not want to speak, stand up and write a blog. If neither speaking or writing is your thing, maybe stand up in support of someone that you feel is speaking your beliefs and your heart. Sitting idly on the sidelines, waiting and hoping for things to get better is no longer an option. Jewel phrases it beautifully in her song, Life Uncommon, when she says, there are plenty of people who pray for peace, but if praying were enough, it would have come to be. Let your words enslave no one, and the heavens will hush themselves to hear our voices ring out clear with the sounds of freedom. Take that to heart. We can stand up with love, and we can make changes that positively affect the world. However, we must stand up and speak in ways that do not further expand the divide that we see in our communities, our country, and our world. We can actually heal that divide when we adopt a practice that I call acknowledging others' positions. Notice I did not say agree with others' opinions or positions, simply acknowledge them. When we stand and voice our thoughts and opinions, even if we do it from our hearts, if we are not acknowledging other people's opinions, a wall is going to be built between us and them. We lose our ability to be heard because we are not listening to them. When we acknowledge someone's position, they feel heard and we actually hear what they're saying. There is a popular saying that most of us have heard, preaching to the choir. This basically means you're preaching to an audience that is already on your side. To make positive changes in this world, we must speak to and hear those with differing opinions. We must remember that based on what they believe to be true, their opinions are as valid as ours. It's based on their belief of what is true. Even if we have 1,000 pieces of information and facts to discredit their opinions, they believe their thoughts to be true and will hold tight to them if we do not honor them by acknowledging their position, by hearing their words. The more we fight an opposing opinion, the more tightly that other person is going to grasp it, and the more strongly they're going to believe it. It is when we acknowledge their opinion and then lovingly present our own that we can often break through that wall, even if it's just a tiny little crack. Light can seep through it, and that other person may actually notice that light. In a workshop I once taught, we had an exercise that demonstrated this beautifully. We would have the participants pair up with someone in the class, and they would stand facing each other. They would hold their arms in a position similar to the way arm wrestlers do in their matches. They would then hold hands as if they were going to arm wrestle, and we would determine who was going to go first, and that person would move their arm as if they just won the wrestling match. When their arm got into that complete down position, they would say, "I acknowledge your position." The second person would then move their arm 180 degrees to the opposite side as if they won the competition, and they would say, "I acknowledge your position. This is my position." Notice the word "but" is excluded from this process. The word "but" tells your brains, ignore everything you just heard. Here comes the real truth. Had they said, "I acknowledge your position, but this is my position," the "I acknowledge your position" would come across as a lie. The participants would continue this process until both parties relaxed into the process without struggling. Even with those few simple words, the participants remarked at how relaxing and peaceful it was to speak and to be acknowledged. Nearly every one of the processes began with struggle and resistance, but they all ended with peaceful acknowledgement of the other person's position and statements of their own position. We do not have to practice this process. We don't have to go stand with somebody who disagrees with us and get in this position. It won't hurt, but we don't have to get our arms in that position and then do that process. By acknowledging the other person's position, we let them know that we seek understanding and we seek resolution. We do not have to agree with them or their position. We must simply acknowledge them, acknowledge the other person, acknowledge their views. When we as individuals, communities, nations, and globally begin acknowledging opposing positions, we can create an atmosphere where the defenses ease, the walls come down, and healing begins, even before we find resolution. If we go into a discussion claiming to be right, we are attempting to prove that the other person or persons are wrong. And when we go here, when we show someone else that they are wrong, they will most certainly go into shutdown or attack mode and not hear a word we are saying. As we spoke of last week in our communication show, we must be flexible in our message. When we take a stand, if we do not do so flexibly, we at best will reach only a few people. When we take a stand for something important to us, we want to reach as many people as possible. We must be flexible in how we say it. As we make our stand and as we acknowledge others' positions, we are best served by another tool that we talked about last week, which is the love model. Listen openly, validate equally. Before expressing my thoughts about the family separation that I began the show with, I literally listened to what others were saying. I validated that I heard their concerns and their opinions. I read everything I could get my hands on from both sides of the political and moral divide so that I could better understand the platform of both sides. This was not about looking for ways to change my opinion of the situation. It was about finding ways to express what I believed in a way that can be heard by those who agree with me and by those who do not see eye to eye with me. My initial reaction to all of this was outrage, and if I would have reacted from that place, I too would have been reacting from ego and fear and pain. While I still hold some of that outrage about the situation, by listening openly and validating equally, I was able to take a stance based on my heartfelt beliefs instead of attacking those I do not agree with. While there is still a level of outrage over this situation, I do not hold it for the people who support those actions, because I see that there is some misinformation there. I see that there is some fear there. I see that there is some pain there. It's not that I agree with them. I'm just not outraged at them as much as I was, if any at all. By acknowledging others' positions, I can honor the freedom they have to hold their opinions, even when I don't agree. I can speak to them about my position without attacking them on a personal or intellectual level. I must admit, I still do not understand some of the justification being used to support this separation of child and family, but I know that those who do support it have their reasons, just as I have mine, to take a different stand. When we speak to the issues with wholeheartedness, we build a platform that can be heard. And in case you don't know, wholeheartedness is the complete connection of our hearts and our minds. When we stand in our anger or our outrage, we speak from a place that will be torn down, if not by others, then by ourselves. As with all things, we must first look within and come to understanding of what is occurring within ourselves in the situations that we face. Then we are ready to stand up for our views and our opinions. Acknowledging others' position allows us to create an atmosphere where dialogue can occur, and it is then that we can heal the gap between us. We are witnessing an ever-widening chasm within this country and the world, and as long as we allow it to continue, it will make its way into every aspect of our lives. You know, we see our government attack people who do not believe the same as they do. And that comes from both sides of the aisles. This is not a political statement for either side. That's truth on both sides of the aisle. On social media, we see individuals attacking individuals because of their political or religious beliefs, as well as any other differences. What we are seeing is being perceived as the new way to deal with people who have their own opinions. You know, I met with a client, I met with a client just a couple of days ago who was seeing this in their very own company, where two different divisions are now fighting, and they've created this us against them mentality, and a gap is broadening by the day between the divisions and the individuals. They are serving no one. It is up to us, and the time is now, to change this pattern. We can heal ourselves, and in turn, we can heal the world. Begin by acknowledging yourself and your opinions and positions. Do not let them lie dormant and unspoken. Next, acknowledge others' positions. Do not attack. Do not devalue. Simply acknowledge and then stand up for your position. And do all of this with love and with peace. We will never create peace in our country and our world, or even our own lives, until we express peace and love within ourselves, for ourselves, and then out to others that we meet. The time has come where we must stand up for what serves the highest good for each of us, for all humans, and for this world. When we stand up with love, change happens. So once we acknowledge, the other's positions, we must stand up for what we desire, not what we oppose. As I've mentioned many times, what we resist persists. Speaking in opposition of something will only give that thing more energy. Speaking up for what you desire gives your desires elevated and expanded energy. When you do that, you create elevated and expanded energy out into the world. You resonate it. Stand up for love and peace. Now, I know that most of what I said earlier was kind of on the negative note. It was kind of talking about what I see as wrong in this situation. And for that, well, I'm not going to apologize for that, because I spoke what I felt needed to be heard in order for healing to start. But I do sincerely know that my next steps are going to be to look for ways that I can begin connecting more deeply with the people who have opposing opinions. I'm not going to run from them. I'm not going to fight them. I know that I need to find a way to connect more deeply. And when that happens, resolution does start taking shape. The end all plan, the greatest good of this situation, some of it is starting to filter through. We're starting to see the light of that goodness coming in by this reversal of the order from the White House. We're starting to see it by people standing up, taking a stand, and speaking out for what's right. Folks, this is just the beginning. Let's continue this. Let's continue speaking out for what we desire, for the goodness, for the morality that we desire. And when we do, we're going to see that light expand, that healing expand and elevate more deeply than we could ever imagine. So stand up for love and peace. Speak your mind, but do it lovingly. Thank you so much for listening in today. I invite you to join the Life Toolbox group on Facebook. Ask questions there. Begin conversations. As I've said, I would love to see this group as a platform that we all can use to elevate love and peace in this world. Let this be a healing place. Also, please visit my website at www.kennybrixey.com to find out more about my work and how it may assist you in opening awareness to your own authentic truth. On the site, you will find out more about my books, personal and spiritual growth workshops, coaching programs, corporate workshops, team development events, seminars, and all kinds of other stuff. I also provide emotional release, and this work is becoming even more important with all that's going on in the world right now. So if you feel that you have a need for some emotional release work, let me know. Check out the other amazing shows here on Empower Radio, and I promise you, you're going to find at least one that speaks to your heart. As always, my deepest gratitude goes out to Brent Carey for creating this amazing resource for empowered living that is Empower Radio. And thank you to Mark, who is an awesome producer here at Empower. Until next week and beyond, stand up, let your position be seen and heard, and do it with love. Love and peace to you all.